Okay, we are in Shmuel Beis. We are in Perek Yudal. Good morning. We are up to Pasuk Chet. We are up to page 290. Pasuk Ches on page 290. So this Perek began with Yoav. Yoav, who went to a very wise woman, Isha Chachama, which is as she's called, doesn't give us her name, but her purpose was very clearly defined, so as to intercede on Avshalom's behalf, on David's behalf, so to be able to reunite the two. Avshalom, who had fled after, as we saw, having killed Amnon. So because of that, he ran away. And the question is Avshalom ever going to come back? And if he does not come back, because he was such a very powerful person, Yoav ben Tzruya was concerned that possibly what would end up happening is he would rebel against the king, which maybe he will eventually anyway, but to be able to have some type of a reunion certainly would be best. And therefore, instead of presenting this directly to the king, which the king would just flat out say, no, I'm not interested in this relationship anymore, instead, he asked this Isha Chachama, this very wise woman, to do so instead. And she came, as we saw toward the end of last week, to cry in front of the king. And she said that she was a widow, she was an almana. She said also that she had two children that were quarreling with one another, and there was no witnesses around. No one saw this. There was no one to be able to break up the fight, as we see in Pasuk Zion. Unfortunately, what ended up happening is one of them killed the other. So at least she has one child left. And of course, none of this is true. This is the story. This is all an allegory that hopefully David would be able to figure out. It's really about himself. And this one child left, her other family was not interested in having this child remain alive either. They felt, as their blood is boiling, that they have a halachic right to take this child's life, as we find in the event, as the Torah says, that someone's chopping wood, the blade flies off, kills someone, which is the example the Torah gives, that the Goel Hadah is allowed to go and to kill this person if they do not run to a city of refuge, to an Ari Miklat. If they're in the city of refuge, then they're protected. That's their home base. But in this situation, he was just by the mother, not in any form of real protection, and the family wants to kill him too. And this woman said, you know, the problem with all this is, what'll end up happening is I'll have nothing. I'll end up, as we saw at the end of Pasuk Zion, v'kibu es gechalti, a little wax poetic, that my coal will be extinguished. I'll have no more light in my life. There'll be nothing which will give me any more happiness. Not only that, I will not have a sherit al pnei hadama. There will not be a remnant on the face of this earth. There will be no memory, no connection, no legacy for me to pass down, as all of my children will be taken away. And therefore, what she was doing was asking the king, please, whatever you can, speak to my relatives so that they should not do harm to my child. After all, if there is anyone that is going to do harm to my child, it will be God. Let God take care of that business. But the reality is, no one else should touch this child. No one else should harm my child. And therefore, I should be able to reunite with my child. And therefore, as we can understand, the allegory is that Avshalom ran away, perhaps concerned that David was going to want to kill him. Because very similar, Avshalom, who killed Amnon without witnesses, maybe David is going to kill me. And therefore Avshalom stayed away. So this woman, in a very clever manner, was hinting to David that he should not put the law into his own hands, but rather let God take care of it. And in the meantime, you should be able to reunite with your son. So Pasukas, V'yomer HaMelech El Ha'isha. So the king says to this woman, L'chi L'veisech, go back home. Go home, V'ani Atzaveh Alayach, and I will command upon you. In other words, I will make sure that no one will harm your child. Nothing's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Just go. It'll be all right. Stop making a big deal about this. Says the Radak, Atzav alayich, Atzava b'nei ha-mishpacha alayich shelo yigu b'vanech. What I'll do is I will send word to your family that they will not harm, they will not touch your child. The Mesudas David says a little bit differently on Pasuk Ches, which is not underlined, that Sava esmi ma'anshe would lidrosh lachkor badavar im ha'emesos. What I'm going to do is I'm going to speak to my people to be able to investigate and interrogate and look deeply into this matter to see if in fact this is true. So he was basically saying, let me look into this. This doesn't sound so so kosher, if you will. I'm not so sure, but I'm going to look into this matter. Or possibly a third explanation, exactly what David was saying to her, was that he's saying, I will, again, inform, as the Radak says, the family, the relatives, to let them know that they do not have a right, halachically, to kill this person. The only time you have a right to kill someone is if there's witnesses, if there was warning, and nonetheless this person was killed. Then maybe you can take your law in your own hands, be a vigilante. But in this situation, they're not allowed to do so. So I'm going to inform them of the halacha that they're not allowed to harm your child. Pasuk Tes. V'toimer ha'isha hatikois el ha'melech. So again, this is where she came from, which came from very smart people, as we saw, because they used to have a lot of olive oil. Went to the king, and she said to the king, Olai Adoni ha'melech, it is upon me, ha'abon v'al beis avi. V'hamelech v'kiso naki. However, when it comes to me, the avon, the sin, will be upon me, as well as beis avi in my father's home. This devastation, if something happens to my child, it'll be my fault. And you, king, v'hamelech v'kiso naki, the king, your throne, you will be clean. You will be considered innocent. You'll have done absolutely nothing wrong. Now,
why does she even adopt the king? I mean, what does he have to do? Why should there even be a question about it?
So the Radak actually says that she was being a little bit sarcastic. If you look in the Radak in Pasuk Tes, which is not underlined either, it says, Olai Adoni HaMelech HaAvoin B'hapuch Ritzos B'hepuch Levin HaPuchu on Purim. It was really the opposite. Ritzos HaLomar of what she wanted to say. El Shekonsu Kavod HaMelech. What she did was, out of the honor of the king, she said, King, you're innocent, it's my fault. The truth is, she felt that if the king doesn't actually do something and is more proactive and doesn't just sweep under the rug and make it a big deal, so well, I'll educate them, I'll inform them. If you don't do something a little bit more harsh, a little bit more severe and serious, then it's really your fault. It's your problem. If you look in the English on the facing page, on page 291, it says that the woman intimated that if her son were harmed after this royal guarantee of safety, it would be David's fault. Since it would be very disrespectful for her to say such a thing directly, she said it euphemistically, saying that the blame would fall on her, when she really meant that the fault would be David. She wanted David to assure her that he would do his utmost to protect her son. Alternatively, it could mean that if anything happens to my son, it will be my loss, while the king and his throne will not suffer. Right? So the idea is, don't go home and don't worry. What do you mean? That's not enough. I need more reassurance than that. What do you mean, don't worry about it? Of course, you're not going to worry about it, because it's not your problem. You don't care. Because it's not your family, it's not your issue. So it's easy for you to just make it as though it's nothing. But to me, it's not nothing. To me, it is something, and therefore, this is not enough. What you're guaranteeing me is just not enough. Therefore, the king realized this, that maybe he has to be a little bit more assertive, better, give her more support. Therefore, v'yomer hamelech, so the king said, v'medaber elayich, anyone who speaks against you, you should bring them to me. That they will not continue to touch you, which means they're not going to harm you. So what exactly does this mean? So what's she going to do? If someone's about to kill her son, she's going to say, one second, before you kill my son, you have to go to the king. What exactly does this mean? That anyone who speaks badly or someone who wishes to harm you, bring them to me. What does that mean? So the Radak, if you see the Radak, I'm a Dabri Eliyah, but the end of the Radak, which says, the first one of the word is Medaber, then comma, Baba Omer Bahave So, Keneged Aichad Min Narav Ha'omdim Sham. David wasn't speaking to her. He was speaking to one of his trusted servants that was standing nearby. Says the Radak, Ki Aisha Lohaisi Chola Lohaviya. Because this woman would not have the power to bring this guy who wants to kill her son to the king. If it wasn't for the fact that there would be one of the king's officers that were there to be able to support her words. So the king wasn't just saying, yeah, just send them to me, because they're going to say, what are you talking about? No, you didn't speak to the king. Who are you? You're a nobody. So the fact is that once she would go back with one of the king's officers, and in fact they would verify that this is what the king said, then he'll be sent to me. Which therefore, you now should feel a little bit more comfortable. It's not just that I'm going to send word, but I'm now going to send a soldier that's going to protect you, and if anything happens, everything will be fine. They'll just be sent to me, and I'll take good care of them. Pasuk Gedal. The Tomer, and she said, Yisker no hamelech es Hashem Elokecha. Interesting, so now all of a sudden she's bringing God into the picture. King, maybe you should remember the Torah, you should remember Hashem. Me harbas goel hadam l'shaches lo yashmidu es b'ni. That there are numerous goel hadam, there are numerous people that wish to do harm. There are many people that want to kill people because their blood is boiling, because of something which happened to their relative was murdered. Lo yashmidu es b'ni. Please do not allow my child to be harmed. V'yomer chai Hashem. And then David responds with a shvua, promising that im yipol misaras b'nech artza, that it will not even fall misaras b'nech artza, not even a single hair from your child's head will fall upon the ground. Nothing will happen to your child. You have my word. I have now given you a shvua. Now, again, reminding ourselves of the allegory, which I haven't seen anyone that picked up on this, but to me, I find it very ironic that we find that David is focusing on hair, Misaras B'nech Artsa, especially when, as we'll see at the end of this parak, Avshalom was known for his tremendous beauty, and in particular, his very beautiful, long, wavy hair. Part of the reason was because he was a Nazir. And he wasn't allowed to cut his hair. He cut his hair once a year, which we'll see why when we get to it later on in this parak. But nonetheless, it's interesting that the whole purpose of this is for David to be reminded of Avshalom. And here, in a very hidden manner, in his wording, he mentions that about the hair, which of course is what Avshalom is noted for in his beauty. So if we look on this pasuk, in pasuk Gedal, starting off with the words of Rashi. Rashi says, what exactly is this that she's saying, that you should remember Hashem, you should remember the Torah, about all these people that wish to kill others? So Rashi says that what does Hashem do if a person accidentally kills someone? What does Hashem do? She hikbid al arech haderech lahatzil nefashos. What does Hashem do? He's very particular that when it comes to the road, and a person who's traveling on the road, in order to get to that city of refuge, to that Ari Miklat, he does everything in his power, l'hatzil nefashos, so that that person should not die. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'sigu ki yarba haderech, it's a long road, v'zehu maharbis goel hadam l'shaches, yata dochosi. You know that there are many people that wish to kill this child, my whole family, and you just wish to doichos, you just push me off like this is some big joke. By the time you have a messenger, what's that messenger going to do? It's going to warn one person. It'll bring that one person back to the king. There's many people that want to kill my child. It's not just one relative. It's numerous people. And furthermore, as what Rashi is alluding to, is that when it comes to the person who kills Bashogeg inadvertently, the Torah requires that you have to have signs all over saying that the Ari Mikla is in this direction. So the question is why? The answer is the Torah tells us, V'chai b'hem, we want them to live. We do not want the Goel Hadam to murder them on the road. They do have the right to do so, which is difficult to understand why. Perhaps because they were just so overtaken by emotion, you can't blame them, you can't hold them accountable. But we don't want that to happen. We want that person to get to the city of refuge. We don't want people to die. The Torah and Hashem does everything to make sure that that person is not killed. So David, why aren't you doing the same? Why are you considering this as an insignificant thing when the Torah itself does everything in its power to make sure that this person is not killed? On this, the Radak continues, as we said, that Yizkor No HaMelech, which is underlined, Ratzasa Lomar, Shiyotzi Shvua Mepiv Shoyumas Bena. What she was asking, and we know this is the case, because we already read the second half of the Pasuk, is that she was saying, please swear to the fact that my child will not die. Baloma Miharbas Goel, and when she said that there were so many people that wished to kill, Kloman has to say, Shahi Rabim Gualim Hadam, there are many of these people, Yimitzav HaMelech, L'Echad, Yavo Acher V'Hargenu. If, as we said, if you command one of them and bring them to your palace and reprimand them or whatever you're going to do to them, there are other people that are going to kill my child. It's not just one person that my son is being protected from. It's my whole family wishes to kill him. Aval im yishav hamelech. But on the other hand, if they hear that the king actually made a shvuah, that he swore to the fact that he should not be killed, Yishmu ha-go'alim ha-shvua, the ear shall yigubah. Then everyone will have heard this, and then once you've said such a strong shvua that you better not do this, then no one will harm my child. And in fact, we see that's exactly what David does. He accepts that her request, and he makes a shvua. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I was wondering why no one rebukes David of getting involved with Amnon and Tamar.
With a what?
Amnon and Tamar. The story from, why doesn't anybody rebuke him? And I see this as a rebuke. If he would have gotten involved, one brother would have not killed, if it's possible for him to cause no revenge.
Right.
Then it would have been possible for him to do this between his sons.
You're absolutely right. He should have done. He didn't.
And the fact that he didn't, and it was possible, caused this whole thing to.
There was only one thing that we saw that David did. He said that yichud, being secluded with
which
a penuyah with a non.
Right.
That was the only thing that he did. Too little, too late, and it was only right after the fact. It was not rebuking the past.
I'm amazed that the rabbi are not rebuking him.
The rabbi don't rebuke him.
This was certainly.
They enable him.
This was certainly part of his punishment, as he was told that there was going to be a downfall in your family. And this is exactly what happened with him. That he this.
But they say that the downfall is because of Bathsheba.
Correct.
What he did, not. Right. Not specifically because of this.
Right.
This is another issue of his.
Did he do a sin by not intervening in some?
I think so. He was trying. Look with Yaakov. There was Levi. There's a. It has something. It's a snowball. It keeps turning.
Absolutely. He certainly could have done more than he did. There's no question about it. And the fact that he didn't, this is what ends up happening.
When he's accusing one side about the other, he has to bring himself, he has to consider what he did not do to prevent it.
Correct. For some reason, he doesn't he looks at the next step and not what caused it to happen.
Oh, unless this affects him.
That we'll have to see. That we'll see. Pasuk Yud Beis. So now he makes a shua. So he's protected this non-existing child, this whole story, which is just is made up. So now this child is safe. So she's probably go home, and her job is done. But her job isn't done, because apparently David has not yet figured out the real reason why she's standing in front of him. V'tomer Isha. So the woman speaks and says, "Daber na shivchatcha el Adoni Hamelach Davar. Please allow your maidservant," speaking about herself, "please allow me to continue. May I speak to the king about another matter?" But Yomer, and so what does David say? What choice do I have? Daberi, so speak. What else do you want already? What else can you possibly want? And the Masudas David on the very bottom just basically explains that which we just translated, that She'ela Rishus L'davar Devareha. She basically, again, she asked permission to speak about something which was not necessarily connected to what she was speaking about before, and David gives her permission to do so. Vatomer Ha'isha, so what does she say? V'lama, very interesting language over here. V'lama Chashavta Kazos Al-Am Elokim. We'll just translate it literally, then we'll have to understand how the Radak fleshes this out a little bit better. Why do you chashavta? Why do you think like this about Am Elokim, about Hashem's people, Hashem's nation? How could you think such a thing about Hashem's nation? You know, what does that mean? So Rashi, the very first Rashi, we're in the middle of this pasuk, translates as shechashavta Yisrael, that you could have suspected a person. Sheyavo laharog es hasheni b'leidim v'hasra. How could you even think that this would be the case? I made up this whole story, by the way. But how could you even have thought in a million years that a Jew would do such a thing? There was no witnesses. There was no warning, because it was just two people, and two people only. There was no one else around. One killed the other. Why would you think that an Am Elokim would kill that person? You don't have a right to kill such a person. Obviously, what she's trying to say is, David, what are you trying to do with Avshalom? You're trying to kill Avshalom? That he has to hide from you? That he can't be in your presence? How could you do such a thing? Just like if the story can't be possible, so too, this is, you shouldn't have thought this way about Avshalom. But then the pasuk continues in a different manner. It says, "Umedaber hamelech hadaber hazeh." How is it possible that the king would say such a matter? Ka'ashem levilti hashiv hamelech es nidcho. That, translated in English, and the king not say now about this matter that he was mistaken, in order for the king not to return to his banished one. So what exactly is she saying over here? So the Radak explains this at great length. So if you look in the Radak where it says, V'lama chashavta, why would you think this? The Radak is going to basically explain that no relative of mine is going to believe that you made a shvua that I should not, that you should not harm my child. Why not? Why couldn't David have made such a shvua? Why couldn't David have been compassionate toward the life of this child who had taken someone else's life? And as the Radak is going to say, it's because he doesn't show compassion about his own child in that exact same situation. So people are going to say, if he doesn't have compassion toward Avshalom, who took someone's life, and he's willing to kill him, there's no way, I don't believe you, that David made a shvua, that the king swore that we should not harm this kid. Why shouldn't we harm this kid? He wants to harm his own child in the exact same scenario. So I don't believe there was a shvua. Let's see the Radak. They're not going to believe that you swore that they should not harm my child. Skipping two lines. We know that Avshalom, David's child, killed Amnon, and it's the same situation. There was only two, basically, it was just there wasn't anyone around, there was no warning, and you, David, want to kill Avshalom. Ve'ech nishba, hu shezeh shahar gachev lo yumas lo yudach. How is it possible that the same person could make this shvua that we shouldn't kill this guy, that we should not, that we shouldn't get rid of him? It doesn't make any sense. This is complete hypocrisy. How could the same person be compassionate about one person when he's not compassionate toward another one when it's the exact same story? So what are people going to know? People aren't going to know that we had this conversation. The only thing people are going to know is the story of Avshalom. Everyone knows that Avshalom murdered his brother, and Avshalom ran away. And the reason why Avshalom ran away is because David probably wants to kill him. So David, the king, has no compassion over someone who kills another person. So why would he make a shvua like this? So basically what she's saying is that this shvua means nothing. It's not enough. You need more. Pasuk Yudal. Kimos nomus, because everyone ultimately will die. Ukamayim hanigarim artsa, and we are similar to water, which is nigarim artsa, which the Masudas Sion translates Indian hazola natifa, flowing. That water flows and seeps into the ground. Asher lo iyasef, that water does not gather up. It does not go back up. I guess it doesn't know about the condensation and precipitation. Okay, they must have skipped that. This is the woman speaking, this smart woman, which we don't know her name, speaking to David. Every person, after a certain amount of years, their neshamos are taken from them. And there is no nefesh in which Hashem does not eventually take. V'chashav machashavos. Therefore, one should think. You should think. L'vilti yidach menu nigach. That you should not push off. You should not banish, as it's translated here, your child. Basically, what is being said, as we'll see in the Radak, which is a little lengthy, not just that which is underlined, but the whole Radak, V'lisa elukim nefesh, is that it's up to Hashem. God is the one who's in control. God is the one who ultimately takes, after a certain amount of years, everyone's life. And therefore, it should not be you, David, to plot against Avshalom. Rather, let Hashem do it. So we look in the Radak. Well, Yisrael Kim Nafesh. Again, this part is not underlined, but nonetheless, the Radak says Shelo Yitzienu Minago, that it is not taken forth from the body. Kolomar Luisa Pnei Kol Ish. Kikulanu namus, everyone will perish, die. V'ein al adam laharbo shvichas damin, and since it's Hashem's job to do that, it's not al adam. It's not up to us laharbo shvichas dam. Hashem already is in that business. He doesn't need more customers. He doesn't need competition. Elamatu kamok shiuch. What we need to do is to minimize and to preserve life as much as we're able to do. This is what she's saying. V'im yaharg adam chavero, and if someone kills their friend, lo tziva hamako muhargo, Hashem doesn't command us that person must be killed. Im lo hargo b'mezid b'edim hasra, in a situation where he did not kill on purpose, or there was no witnesses, or there was no warning, k'dil mashvichas dam, because we minimize death, right? There is a concept of capital punishment. We do believe in capital punishment, but it has to be with the proper warning, with the proper witnesses. It has to be done b'mezid, premeditated, all this business. It can't just be by accident, be shogeg. Continues the Radak, v'im hargu shogeg, if that blade flew off when he's chopping wood and killed someone. In that situation, siva shigola adzman yedua. The Torah says, don't have that person killed. Let that person go to golus, which is translated as going to the city of refuge. That's his protection. Azman you do until a certain time. namely until the Kohen Gadol dies, right, which is a question why that anyway, but nonetheless, it's a finite amount of time, possibly, only a few seconds, it could be your whole life, depends on how the Kohen Gadol's doing. The second base of Mikdash, the Kohen Gadol died almost every year, so you're in good shape. Basically, it says the same thing, that you can't even kill the guy even if he did it on purpose. You knew that it was done on purpose. But if you didn't have, if there's these loopholes in halacha, no witnesses, it wasn't, maybe there weren't kosher witnesses, the witnesses didn't give the proper warning, they didn't see what they only heard, or they didn't see the whole thing, can't kill them. V'zeh she'amra, that which she said in her musar, v'choshev machashavos, v'vilti yidach minu nigach, what does that mean when she said the statement that you should have this thought as so as not to push away this person? Elkim chasham achashavos. It means that Hashem is the one who makes these, has these thoughts. The shal mishpatim levil tiyidach ahari. And there are the judgments not to push off and not to separate yourself from this person who killed. And that you should not put the law in your own hands. The Eshel Farish, this is basically the same thing, this is why I underlined it at first, because this is really the whole point. V'chashem achashavos al hamelech. That it wasn't about Hashem, but about the king, which is how we translated it. Since our end is that we will all be taken from this world by Hashem, you, king, should think that you should not be the one involved in pushing him away. Just because one person killed the other does not give you the right to take that other person's life. Okay. So this is, as the Radak explains it, in no uncertain terms, that she is saying very clearly that you should not be treating Avshalom in this manner. And in fact, if this person deserves some type of a punishment, Hashem will be the one that does this punishment. If you look at the English on page 293, which is underlined, you'll see similar, basically what the Radak says. There is no need for David to be the judge and the agent of the court in punishing Avshalom. Death is inevitable, irreversible, just as impossible to gather up running water. It's man's responsibility to preserve life, not to take it. The Torah prescribes when a murderer is liable to the death penalty. But if someone killed without warning and witnesses, we must leave his punishment to Hashem. So therefore, this is based, as we just read in the Radak, that's how it's summarized in the English. Pasuk Tesvav. So, does she stop there? No, she keeps going. V'atah now asher basti ladaber al melech. The fact is that I have come and I've spoken to you, the king, Adoni, my master, as Hadamar has said this matter. Ki yiruni ha'am. Because I was afraid of the nation. In other words, I was afraid of people. What is she saying? She's saying, listen, I had to tell you this strange, ridiculous story, and I lied to you, and I apologize. But you have to understand that I just couldn't go right up to you and start giving you this information. If I had to speak to you in a more roundabout way and not give you the direct musser, because I was afraid that I would perhaps insult you. I would have done something which I could have gotten in a lot of trouble. Maybe you would have been angry at me. They probably wouldn't have let her in.
Is this part of the script that she's supposed to be the episode?
No.
She was supposed to just say what he told her. So she
would she takes on the role.
Not only that, David is going to confront her and say, okay, who pee up to this? Was it Yoav? And she's going to say, yeah, you got me. We're going to see that. She admits that who it was. But this is what Rashi basically says, that she was afraid. Pen yichos olai, that maybe you're going to be angry at me. So therefore, I figured I'd just kind of hint it to you, and then once we're talking, then I felt a little bit more comfortable to be able to tell you the truth. They don't always work, right? Yeah, well, it's sometime, maybe eventually he'll get it. V'tomer shifchotcha adabrino al amelech. So she said, please allow your maidservant to speak to the king. Perhaps you, the king, will do the ways of your maidservant. As you listen to my words, if you're able to accept what I have to say. Ki yishma hamelech lahatzeles amaso mikafa ish. Because after all, if you think about it, the king did listen to me, that you wanted to save my child, mikafa ish, that the clutches of man, as it's translated here, that they would have killed my child, ahashmid osiv yasbani. Ultimately, they would have killed me, because I would have felt dead inside. They would have killed my child, yachad, together, menachlas elokim, from the heritage of Hashem. I'll have nothing, no legacy, nothing to continue. But you, David, had compassion on my child. So just as you had compassion on my child, v'tomer shivchoscha yehena davar Adoni HaMelech limnucha. So your shivcha, your maidservant, says, please allow the words of the king to limnucha, that should bring about menucha, peace, or translated here as tranquility, for your own child. Ki kamalach velokim, because you're a tremendous scholar, you're brilliant, you're like an angel of God. Ki nadoni hamelech, so is my master the king, l'shmo hatov hara, you're able to hear and understand and to decipher the good from the bad. V'Hashem elkech yimach, and may Hashem be with you. So you're saying that just as you're able to find the compassion to understand from my own story, my own situation, hopefully you'll be able to do the exact same thing with your own. And how does David respond? So let's just see that one response and we'll stop. Vayan Hamelach. So the king answers, Vayomer El Ha'ish, and he says to this woman, Al na tichachadi mimeni davar asher anochi shoel osach. Please do not conceal any matter from that which I ask from you. I'm going to be asking you some very simple questions. And you're going to know that one of them is going to be, who put you up to this? You have to promise me. You're not going to conceal this. You're going to tell me. But Tamar Ish, the woman said, Yadabra no Adoni HaMelech, please speak. What do you want me to say? Whatever you ask, what am I going to do? I'm going to lie to you? You're a king. But Yomar HaMelech, so the king said, Hayad Yoav Itach Becholzos? Was the hand of Yoav with you in all this? Was he the pulling the strings, and you were just a marionette, and you were just saying the words which he told you to say? It sounds so much like Yoav, and I know him so well. I don't know you, but it sounds so much like Yoav. Was it him? Batana Isha, so the woman responds without a lie. Batamar Chai, Chai Nashacha Adoni HaMelech, I swear to you, Ish Lehemin Lahasmil Mikol Asher Dibra Adoni HaMelech, it's possible that I'm going to withhold from you anything from the right or to the left from anything that you have said. It's not possible for me able to tell you that it was any different than that which you said. You're able to nail it right on the head. Ki avdecha Yoav hutzi vani. It was in fact Yoav that commanded, but who some befi shivchascha. Not only did he tell me to go in front of you, he put into my mouth everything I was supposed to say. It's kol davar me'ela. Every single thing that was said. Let's just see one more pasuk. Lavur sabev es pnei hadavar. The question that she now presents and frames is, why didn't Yoav come to you directly? Why did she have to go up to him? And he says, Lavur sabev es pnei hadavar, that Yoav did this sabev, like in a roundabout manner, in a roundabout manner. Also, Avdecha Yoav Esadavar Zeh, he did this. The Adoni Chacham Kechachmas Malach Alokim. Clearly, the fact that you're able to figure this out immediately, you have the wisdom of an angel. Udasas Kol Asher B'aretz, to be able to know everything which is in the land. But she doesn't really describe the reasons for as to why she was chosen. But that we're going to perhaps discuss later. But nonetheless, she had no choice but to admit to it, and we're going to now see next time that Yoav will be instrumental in now bringing Avshalom back. She will listen. He will listen to what she said, and Avshalom will be brought back. We're going to see that he still didn't want to see him, and because he knew that if Avshalom would come, that Avshalom would say, let me be the next king, let me be the next king. And he just couldn't hear it. He didn't want to see it. And ultimately, we're going to see at the end of this chapter next time that he forces in a very strange way, burning a field in a very bizarre way, this reunion between him and his father, and then we'll see how that encounter unfolds next time.